Today, we welcome Northstone Solar President Lee Calhoun. He's here talking with us from Climate Smart Glacier Country. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Good to have you with us today. You know, I got to tell you, I think it was probably sixth grade over at Hedges School when I first saw a demonstration of solar power. It was a little glass bulb, and it had this little thing twirling around in it. When we put it next to the window, it would turn around, and I've been fascinated with solar ever since. Now, I know we've come a long way since then. Just how far have we come?
Wow, that's a good question. So I'm a pretty old person, and I remember when I graduated from engineering school back in 1972 that solar panels were about 3% efficient in those days, and only NASA could afford them. Nowadays, the ones that we put on houses are in the low 20s in terms of the efficiency for the best panels that are out there.
So we've come, I can't even think of it. You said 3% to 20%?
Yeah, a little bit over 20%. So that's a big change. And of course, it's been a number of years, but they're getting better all the time.
Do we have to have lots and lots of sunshine in order for solar to produce electricity?
Well, there's a myth that solar doesn't work here in the Flathead, but that's simply not true because every place on the earth gets the same number of hours of daylight. So as long as you're talking a grid-tied system, that's one that's connected to the utility, then you can make lots and lots of solar energy during our long summer days.
Okay, and so essentially we can make the solar energy. What we can't do is store it.
Well, there's long-term storage. There is a hard thing to do. There actually are a bunch of ways, but the easiest way, back to net metering, is when you're making the extra power that you're not using in, say, June, July, and August kind of time frame, you end up running a credit with the local utility. In our case, that's Flathead Electric, and then you can burn that credit off. So you might burn it off the next day, the next week, the next month, or maybe several months later during the winter time frame, depending on how much extra you've been able to bank.
Oh, that's that net metering that they've been talking about.
Right.
Aha. So now the two ends come together, Lee.
Right. It's kind of magic.
Okay. I see how it works. So I guess the idea is that we can do this sort of a thing. Now, we have a system. We're part of a system here at KGEZ where we bought one of the solar panels out that Flathead Electric has out on Whitefish Stage Road, and we get a credit for whatever solar energy that creates.
Right. And that system out there is called a solar garden is one name for it, where you've got multiple owners. In your case, apparently the radio station owns a panel or two.
That's correct.
And yeah, those are wonderful things because not a lot of roofs or people who rent, or there's a lot of reasons why you might not be able to have solar if you wanted it, or solar panels, and having the solar garden or the community solar is just a great way for lots of people to take part in the solar situation.
Now, when I lived in Colorado, I had a hot tub, and I had a solar panel up on the roof, and I used that to heat my hot tub. It didn't do any electricity. It just heated the hot tub, heated the water.
Oh, yeah. So that's a great idea. I was wondering, as you were telling me about the hot tub, whether it was producing electricity or simply heat. So back to that efficiency thing that we were talking about, I always like to say that solar's dirty little secret is that it's easier to make heat than it is to make electricity. And if you think about that, someday when you're standing in the bright sunshine, some cool morning, how warm you get just from the sunshine, you know, shining on you. That's a real good example of how that kind of thing works to make heat directly.
Well, I know in living in the Denver area, we had a private utility, and electricity was quite expensive. And so heating a hot tub was a very expensive proposition in Denver. And so having that solar hot water made it actually reasonable to own a hot tub.
Right. I'm sure it did.
Yeah. I want to talk about the National Solar Tour, and we're going to do that with Lee Calhoun right after this. We're talking solar this morning. Northstone Solar President Lee Calhoun is with us, and he's with Climate Smart Glacier Country. So, all right, what is this National Solar Tour, Lee?
Well, it's a not-for-profit organization, the American Society of American Solar Energy Society. Let me get that correct. And they've been putting on these national solar tours or sponsoring them for 25 or 26 years now. And it just allows people to come around and see houses that are energy efficient, houses that have some kind of solar component like the panels we talked about, or heating hot water like we talked about a minute ago. And now they've included electric cars too. So if you go to the solar tour, either in person or virtually, you can have an opportunity to see any of those items.
Where is this tour actually going to take place?
So it's a national thing. Our component is here in Whitefish. There are several places where you can see things. A couple of them are virtual. One of them is on Saturday, October 2nd, and the rest of the houses that are in person are on Sunday, October 3rd.
So they actually have some of these houses here in the Whitefish area?
Oh, yeah. There are places here that have solar panels on them now, and there seem to be more people all the time that seem to be interested in what can it do for them kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So talk with us about the economics of this at this point.
So one of the things that I like to point out to people up front is that energy here in the Flathead is really inexpensive, really cheap energy. And that's a function of Flathead Electric keeping their rates down. Compared to other rates nationally, this is some of the cheapest electricity. And the reason that I mention that up front is it takes generally a good solar resource to be cost competitive with that. So if you've got a situation where you're going to have you would like to have solar, and you've got a bunch of trees shading the area where the solar would be, or a roof that's got all kinds of shapes and protrusions and things like that that cause shade, probably not going to be cost competitive. The other thing that I mentioned to people is that there's three reasons to have solar, at least in my mind. The first reason is that you want it. The second reason is you might think it's the right thing to do. And then the third reason is that it can save you some money. So hopefully we can find a resource for people where it can match all three of those things.
What if you live a ways away from where you can get electricity from the power lines of Flathead Electric? that's one of the things that it becomes a bit expensive, getting the power to you if you're back away from the main power lines.
Yeah, so we kind of slice solar into two things. There's the on-grid, which we just talked about, and then there's off-grid. And that situation is a little different to put together a system for somebody that they can be self-sufficient without the utility grid. That usually requires a generator and some batteries and solar system in terms of the panels. And that can be a little bit expensive. Well, let's be fair. That can be a lot expensive.
But then again, it costs money to get your power lines into your place too.
Yeah, I was called out to a site this summer that was quite a ways from power. It was, I think, about 8 or 9 miles away. And I just did a quick back-of-the-envelope check with the folks at Flathead, and, you know, their wild guess was that it was going to cost these people $100,000 or something to have power brought there. Clearly, we could beat that. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that we could do easily. But living off-grid has its cost penalties, let's put it that way.
Yeah. Lee Calhoun is our guest. We're talking about solar energy, and maybe a few little-known facts might tempt you a little bit, and Robin's going to tempt you with that right after this.
Well, our guest this morning, Northstone Solar President Lee Calhoun, for Climate Smart Glacier Country, and our subject, oddly enough, speaking to a solar president, is largely solar power. And I found it interesting. You mentioned there's two types of systems, the grid-tied system and the off-grid. Now, the grid-tied system is the negative metering concept. But John was mentioning, you know, what if you're away from the power lines? You don't have power lines to your house. You'd mentioned the off-grid system, which would be one where you can store it in battery storage. What is the state of battery storage these days?
That's a good question. So historically, a lot of the people here in Montana that have off-grid situations have used old, I'm using that word, old lead-acid batteries, not horribly different than the ones in our cars that, you know, start the cars every morning. Then those things have been improved, and nowadays there's starting to be some lithium-ion batteries. There are even some what I call smart batteries, which can further automate the system and have a whole lot less maintenance than the older style batteries.
Okay. Now, when you say automating the system, how would that work?
So one of the things with the old-style batteries is that every so often you had to go in and add water to the batteries. There's equalizing the charge. There's a whole lot of hands-on things that maybe you enjoy, maybe you don't enjoy. Some of the newer smart batteries would have that system kind of automated, kind of like the windshield wipers on your car. If you've got an auto sense for the windshield for when it needs to have the wipers turned on.
Hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. Now, the other thing I was wondering about is the sunlight on the solar panels. As the sun tracks differently, those panels would be affected, wouldn't they, on how efficient they might be?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. So when you have fixed panels, the sun comes up in the morning, and it's at a very oblique angle to the panels, and so you're making very little power when the first sun comes up. Or when the sun first comes up, I should say. And then as the day goes on, you get to the middle part of the day, the solar noon, when the sun is highest overhead and due south. And that's when you're making your maximum amount of power. And the same thing happens as it traces down the horizon for the end of the day. So that's a fixed system, and that's what most people are used to. There's also active tracking, where the panels are mechanically moved so that they're perpendicular to the sun all day long. And I like to reckon that to working them really hard, which is what you're trying to do. And in this climate, where we have the long summer days, we can make a lot more power in the long summer days by keeping the panels perpendicular. And on an annual basis, you can get like 40% more total power produced.
Wow.
For the whole year.
That's what they have up at Polebridge.
Do they have trackers up there? I haven't seen those.
Yeah, I think so. I think they do.
Okay.
Well, it's a good idea. Now, how does that impact your cost, though? That would be more costly, right?
Yeah, you're right. It's more costly. Obviously, if it runs the cost up more than 40%, then you're better off to just add more panels, kind of thing. Back, I guess, a dozen years ago, I did my first system of my own, and the panels were bleedingly expensive in those days, and tracking was the smart thing to do simply because you could get so much more output out of the panels for a reasonable amount of money. Nowadays, the panels are less expensive, and so it's really a horse race between the cost of the tracking and the cost of simply adding more panels.
Okay, but one of the side benefits is obviously in the wintertime. We might have a snowy day where we have a lot of snow on the ground, but a blazing clear sun overhead, so you can be generating electricity in the wintertime also. And with your tracking panels, it keeps knocking the snow off, doesn't it?
Well, it can, yeah, absolutely. The fact that they move kind of helps get the snow off from there. And, you know, you can think about that. If we had an earthquake in the middle of the winter when we had a high avalanche danger, there might be a whole lot of slides. So that's kind of what happens.
Yeah. Maybe I need one of those tracking panels for my satellite dish, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
In the wintertime, every once in a while, I lose signal. Well, very interesting.
Yeah, I've got one more quick question,
go ahead,
Lee.
John.
I'm wondering, with the new electric cars coming in, why can't we put a solar panel or some type of solar collector on the roof and maybe the hood of these cars and use that to recharge the batteries?
You could do that, but here's the deal. The deal with that is you need a lot of area of solar panel to get enough power to do... let's say you wanted to go to Missoula. One panel on the roof might take all year. I don't know the exact amount of time, but it might take all year to produce enough power to get you to Missoula. So it sounds good to have the panels on the roof, but it may not be totally practical.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking, you know, maybe it would be just as an added thing, like when you park your car out out in the parking lot, it would be sitting there charging the battery during the day.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. It'd get you around the block to the gas station. You know, if it takes so long to gather the power, we should install them in our wagon trains, John.
Oh, yes. Man. Boy, from North Stone Solar, we have the president of that company, Lee Calhoun, with us for Climate Smart Glacier Country. Lee, thanks so much for a great conversation this morning.
Thanks, Lee.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You bet.